Good morning, everyone. Welcome in to the CA Football Weekly Media Conference as we get ready for the semifinals of the FCS playoffs after UAlbany's 30-22 win last Saturday night over number 4 Idaho. The Great Danes on to the semifinals, where they'll face number 1 South Dakota State on Friday night at 7 o'clock. That game will kick off at 7 on ESPN2. It will be the 10th time in the last 11 years that at least one CAA team has reached the semifinals, but the first time for the Great Danes, which we're super excited about. And we welcome onto the call the head coach of UAlbany, Greg Gattuso. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm well. Congratulations to you and your guys. What a fantastic performance from your team on Saturday night in a difficult environment at Idaho. As I mentioned, making the semifinals for the first time in program history, what does that win mean for you and your program?
That was a great win. You know, it was hard fought. You know, we faced a lot of adversity and in many ways getting there and during the game. I think that, you know, hats off to the crowd at Idaho. They were very loud, and it was a fun place to play. You know, I think that helps when you're traveling and you get to go somewhere with a great venue and play. I think our kids were pretty excited about playing inside. So that was all positive. We knew our time was going to come someday if we continued to work hard. I mean, it's what we preach with our team, and we just follow our own advice. And to be in the Final Four is awesome. I think it's obviously not many people thought we'd be there, but we were able to beat a good Idaho team on their home turf and earn our way in. And I know we're the new guys on the block, but hopefully this is the start of what we've all dreamt of here at UAlbany.
Start with some questions this morning with Mark Singles. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Hey, Greg. With the game on Friday, can you kind of take us through how you do this short week of preparation? You have to kind of condense everything into a shorter window of time here, and when do you travel?
Yeah, we'll make it work. I think we were laughing today in our meeting. We just kind of take it as it comes. You know, it's our 9th away game. And we played a full season of away games. We're kind of used to the drill. The kids don't let it bother them. It is what it is. I think getting back at noon from the trip here Eastern is the hardest part of traveling across the country, more than going. But the kids are good. I'm eager to see them today. And we obviously have to train a little different this week, but we have a good plan in place to try to recover, get our rest and recover, and then get some work against, you know, obviously the best team in FCS football right now. It's really cool that they gave us a short week. So, you know, to challenge us even more. So we're just going to respond the way we always do to adversity, is go in there and work hard.
Next question, Greg, from Kyle Kending. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Coach. Congratulations on Saturday.
Thank you.
I wanted to start with Brevin. Obviously, the touchdown catches are phenomenal, but he had that one play where he was the gunner, where he popped the punt returner. And, I mean, for your wide receiver to make a play like that, what does it kind of say about the player and approach that he brings to your team?
Well, that was actually Michael Coleman. They just wear the same number. So he's one of our corners who is outstanding on special teams that made that play on the punt. It was not Brevin Eastman.
Oh, it was not. Okay, that's good to know. I appreciate that.
We're not that also crazy to let Brevin cover punts. Not quite.
No, understood. And then I wanted to, when you were mentioning about what you dreamt of with the program, with everything Coach Ford did, building it up and now at this point, taking it to the next level. I mean, what does this kind of mean to you on a personal level to be part of such a huge jump here for the program?
I don't know. I believe in a certain system, a way of doing things. And I've always stuck to it. And there's been great success with it in the past. And obviously, since we've been here, there's been some ups and downs, which is kind of normal when you get – there's still a transition when you move up from the NEC into a league like the CAA, and we've probably stumbled more than I would like, but I think we've had our good seasons, and you know, we're trying to continue to build a program here. We're trying to continue to build our fan base. I thought the last game, you know, the attendance figure, I was questioning the attendance figure because I thought it was bigger than that, and I thought the crowd was really, really invested in the game and the way they cheered and joined in, and that's the kind of atmosphere we're trying to create, and that helps. I mean, when you go on the road, and you especially when you play out west, they have the best facilities, great facilities. They have great fan bases, and that's just, you know, we continue to try to work in that direction. This is a step in that direction. I mean, having this kind of success is great. It hopefully will help draw more players to us, you know, already in recruiting. You know, we're kind of chomping at the bit. You know, we've got games, but we're working on recruiting as well. And there's a lot of kids interested in the program. So, you know, when you win it, winning breeds success. And, you know, I really believe we never got a chance to build off of that 2019 season. It was a pinnacle of what we had accomplished at that point. And then it just fell off a cliff because of the circumstances in the world. But, you know, we plan on really having to build off of this and to try to be a great football program, not just this year, but to build to that point where we're in a conversation as much as possible.
Thank you.
Next question from Adam Schindler. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Greg. You mentioned recruiting, and you've got a number of guys on this team who you were able to recruit from lower levels, from D2, from community college. Anton, Bill Hackett, Brevin. What can you say about the impact those guys have made in adapting to the FCS level?
You know, we've had to develop our players here in the past, where it's hard to go in and beat some of the higher, you know, FBSs or the top FCS programs. And so we've been good at developing players, but what the transfer portal has done is help us add quality players that are developed to our developmental players. And that's what the product we're seeing on the field right now is that those Division II kids were overlooked for some reason. You know, I coached at lower levels. I know it. There's tons of great football players out there in Division II and Division III ranks that can really play, that just got overlooked for whatever reason, whether a coaching change in high school, they grew late, they changed their body types, like AJ Simon and what he became. So there's a lot of reasons why guys do get overlooked. And I think, you know, we'd love to go into Division II ranks. We're seeing a lot more people pay attention to it now. And we're going to continue to recruit the type of person that fits our system, that fits our environment and our community. And hopefully we can continue to have success in the transfer portal.
Next question from Chris Idell. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Hey, Coach. Chris Idell from Herman Radio. Congratulations on making the semifinals, because I know you and I have been talking for a long time, and I'm proud of you guys up there in Central New York. So what do you guys talk about South Dakota State? I know the coach retired last year. Do they run the same offense that they had previously? I know the coach retired and he won the championship last year. Is there something similar to his offense with the new coach?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly would tell you I believe that to be true. You know, we're just in the early phases here. We have not played them or have not been on our radar, so it's not like I'm not well versed on what they've done in the past. I just know this: they've won, I think, 27 straight games and something like that, and they're an excellent football program. So, you know, I'm assuming that I know coach came from within and is part of their system, and I would expect that they'll be very similar.
And when did you know you had a great team? Yeah, because a lot of coaches know during the season they had a great team, like diversity, university, and all that stuff. You see in the in the Division I with Florida State and all that stuff. When did you know you had a great team?
You know, I started thinking I knew we had good pieces coming in. We you know, last year was a tough year. We lost a bunch of close games. That's been well talked about. But, you know, I thought that with the additions – that we had the potential to be a pretty good team. And I always go back to the Marshall game. I remember walking off that field, you know, against a really good football team, big and athletic, a thunderous crowd we had to deal with. I felt like, you know, we easily could have won that football game, maybe should have won the football game. And I felt like, you know, we had that told me we had a pretty good team. And I think, you know, when we were able to beat Villanova at home, that kind of cemented in my mind, all right, we're pretty good. And we've played that way for the most part the entire year.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck. Safe sure. traveling.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Greg, got a follow-up from Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
Greg, what do you think of a Jason X packing advice?
You know, I give Jason credit. I gave him a little shot back about it. And he tweeted out today, it gets cold there. Bring gloves. I had long underwear in the bag that I just unpacked. So I love that he had sense of humor about it. I was kind of poking him just for fun. Look, I get it. Coaches do whatever it takes to rile their team up and get them to play. He seems like a great guy. He's a good football coach, and I like people with a sense of humor. So I really appreciated his response. And he's probably never been in Albany. He doesn't realize we know cold weather as well as anybody. So we'll be ready for the elements.
Have you ever, or would you ever allow a camera in your locker room for a pregame speech, or is it stuff that you would say that you would rather not get out there?
I would answer that with two points. One, I don't believe in big, long. I mean, I would never give a long speech before a game. I've never been around it. We count on our football team to self-motivate themselves, and they're ready to go when we're ready to go. And I don't need to give them a whole bunch of information. And two, I would never allow a camera in my locker room with my team in private moments ever.
And fall on the ESPN broadcast, they mentioned Bob Ford, Greg, that old tribute to him, and had a couple of old photos of Bob. Obviously, you still play on Bob Ford Field. I know he's at the games as a fan. To what extent is his legacy, is his imprint still felt at all around the program, would you say, Greg?
We had him come and talk to the team this year, and he was around, and we always love when Bob visits and comes around, and, you know, he's the grandfather of this football program. So, I mean, I would expect we want our kids to know who he is and to always know that how important a person he is. He's around, and he's certainly not involved in the day-to-day operations, but he's an important person in our football program.
Thanks very much.
Sure.
Yeah, follow-up from Adam. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, Greg, did just want to see how you guys came out health-wise. Looked like Larry maybe wasn't out there in the secondary for a good amount of the game. And how do you manage guys as you go through a short week with travel like this?
We're banged up. I mean, it was a tough game against a really good football team, so there's going to be some bumps and bruises. I don't really have even a full injury report right now, but, we're hoping to be full strength for Friday night. And hey, it's this time of year. It's a championship football team. That's part of the grind. I mean, when you get into playoffs or you're playing in big games and week to week, and part of having success is you got to be physically tough. And I think this team has shown that they're going to go out there and be physically tough. And, you know, I think you saw it in the game Saturday. I mean, we were really struggling. We did not really – they're good. The crowd was really loud, and we were – battling would be the best way I could put it. I always say, I don't know, we had our best pitch, our best fastball, but we fought and clawed, and then eventually we were able to break through in that fourth quarter. So, you know, we'll be ready. We're going to come. We'll be ready to go. Whoever has to step up, if there is an injury or someone's out, we'll deal with it, because it happens in games. And, you know, I think Denzel Patrick went in and played really well when Larry was down. But Larry's our starter, and we're hoping to have him ready to roll.
Greg, yeah, Reese has obviously had a phenomenal season leading the country in touchdown passes, and then really a phenomenal 2 years. But how good where does that performance with everything that was on the line that he had on Saturday rank?
Yeah, I think he took a step. He's been really progressing as a leader, and I think that's the biggest step he took. I think it's the best game he's ever played. I think he managed the ball better, but he just willed us at one point. You know, the defense, you know, that third quarter was just, you know, a battle. And then in the fourth quarter, I think we held them to like 35 yards or something. We took time of possession in the fourth quarter. We drove, we ran the ball better in the fourth quarter, and we scored points and came back with a late win. And I think he willed us. I mean, people don't see some of these small plays, but the third and five, he shakes off a tackle at the line of scrimmage and runs into two of their defenders and spins and then gets a first down. And I think, you know, that runs kind of a real picture of who he is as a leader and a football player. He's a good one. I mean, that it's funny when you have the two Jerry Rice guys going back to, you know, 1-2 from a year ago going at each other. And, you know, Giovanni was really a good quarterback. And, you know, there's some good quarterbacking going on out there.
Did you have the opportunity with your game being later to see the South Dakota State Villanova game? And then just as you prepare, how much does it help that, you know, a Villanova program that you're familiar with going up against South Dakota State?
Yeah, you know, we watched it. And but I don't know that that was a fair way to judge South Dakota State, to be honest with you. And I think same with Villanova. I mean, that was the wind was really tough and it made it very one-dimensional. And it was a physical battle and they both went at it. It continues. We've survived our kicking mistakes. And I think that game, you know, the Idaho, you know, the top of this seeding are good kicking teams and we need to really improve. But I think I've had a wonderful experience playing in that kind of weather. And it was here when I was at Duquesne and it's tough when you're a passing team. And it's 35-mile-an-hour wind. Not many people can throw the ball in those kind of conditions. So I don't know how much help the game is, to be honest, other than that it was physical.
Your defense obviously has been outstanding all year. Their defense is ranked among the best in the country, ranked number one in total defense. What impresses you about them on that side of the ball?
They're just they're a physical group of guys. And I think, you know, the thing that we've talked about internally is, you know, I think Coach Ambrose put it best today, is that some defenses, they play the call that the coach gives them and they play it. But the great defenses understand the call and understand the weak spots of the call and what's coming. And I think they're exceptional with that. They're very, they play smart. They're physical and they can run. I mean, they're a complete package on in every capacity on the field. They're very good. There's a reason why when you win that many games, it's very difficult to win a bunch of games in a row, especially at the Division I level. And I just saw a thing pop up. The four longest winning streaks right now are we're one of them, which is nice. We're the fourth at seven games in a row, which seems like a lot for me. And in the second place is 10 wins in a row. And they have, I think, 26 or 27 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do. And they're good. There's no doubt about it. We know who they are. We have great respect for them and the type of football they play in all three phases.
And then just switching sides of the ball, you guys are number one in the country against the run and faced a really good back at Idaho, Isaiah Davis for South Dakota Rams for, I think, 197 against Villanova. What makes him so difficult to stop?
He's a beast. He's big and strong and he's great patience as he runs. He's a physical. I mean, I keep talking about patience with running backs because it's not always talent or anything, speed. It's the ability to find holes and cracks in defenses. He's excellent at that, and he's going to run through arm tackles. You know, and that's the physicality that he brings. He's a horse, and he's going to be a big challenge for us.
All right, Greg. Any other questions for Coach before we let him go? All right, Greg. One more from Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Greg, about their offense, about their running game, among the FCS teams you've played, will this be the best offensive line you've faced, Greg?
They look pretty darn good to me. You know, we were just talking about them a little bit as well, and I have not gotten a deep dive. That's kind of my area. I just got to get into it to see more of them today and tonight. But they're good. I mean, they're good. They're seasoned. They got a lot of veterans. When you look through their depth chart and heavy on that offensive line, a lot of experience. And that offensive line tends to be a position that experience is more important than anything. And, they're good. They're good. Again, you just can't – there's just not a lot of chinks in the armor with these guys. You know, they're good across the board. And that offensive line, it's going to be – you know, we need to play better than we did last. I mean, our interior guys played really well Saturday. I'm not sure – I thought our ends played well. I just think that they were – taking on 2-3 guys most of the time, which is good. That means they're not out in the route, but we'll be ready. We're pretty good up front as well. So it should be a pretty good battle. Our D-line against arguably the best group we've seen for sure.
Thanks again.
Sure.
All right, Greg, best of luck on Friday night. Looking forward to it. And thanks for doing this as always.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Thank you guys, many people, for joining us. And hopefully we got a chance to do this one more time before Frisco. Thanks very much.